an FX political comedy show with Russell Brand. And this has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon.
This is Grand Finale, co-host of the Drive Time Radio Show, and you are listening to WGXC Agra, 90.7 FM and WGXC.org.
Creating opportunities, fighting poverty, changing lives. For almost 50 years, Community Action of Greene County has proudly served our community, providing education, tools, and advocacy for those in need. Services range from emergency services, food pantry, housing and homelessness assistance and weatherization in Greene County, to domestic violence and Wheels for Work programs in both Greene and Columbia counties. Our Pay It Forward community thrift store generates income to support our programs. For more information, to donate, to volunteer, or if you are in need of services, please visit us at www.cagcny.org or dial 943-9205.
DeMarchand, a proud supporter of WGXC, is a men's and women's boutique featuring creative and classic clothing, shoes, and accessories. Now presenting our fall collections from European and American designers, DeMarchand.com, DeMarchind.com, on Warren Street in Hudson, New York.
WGXC needs you. Can you be entertaining and engaging while being informative? Are you interested in all things local? News, politics, and culture? Well, WGXC 90.7 FM is looking for people to host it.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news.
You've tuned in to All Together Now, WGXC's regional look at the news from Hudson Valley and the Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Rowe, and today you'll hear all sorts of local news updates, weather, interviews, and more, plus community events and the song of the day on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXC in Agra, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews. Next, the national headlines from Public News Service.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Thursday, July the 19th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Efforts continue to quell the backlash over President Donald Trump's changing statements on the Russia summit. Also on the Thursday rundown, protesters out for Mike Pence's visit to Missouri, and nobody wants to go, but one option is green burials. Topping our news, the White House struggled Wednesday to contain a political outcry and confusion over President Trump's summit with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Reuters reports say denied that Trump ever meant to say that Moscow was no longer targeting the United States. Trump facing an uproar over his failure to confront Putin over the 2016 election meddling, adopted his usual defiant posture 2 days after the Helsinki summit and called his critics deranged. Reuters notes that U.S. intelligence officials have said Russia's efforts to undermine elections are continuing and now are targeting the November 6 congressional races. Meantime, protesters are turning out as Vice President Mike Pence attends a fundraiser in Missouri today. Eric Teganoff has our report.
Pence is speaking at an event promoting the Trump administration's tax cut and to raise money for Republican Josh Hawley, who is challenging Senator Claire McCaskill in November for her congressional seat. Jessica Estes with NARAL Pro-Choice Missouri expects hundreds of people at a rally her group has organized, and hundreds more protesting in the streets. She says Trump and Pence have attacked not only women's rights, but many of NARAL's allied groups that advocate for fair immigration, labor, and health care access issues.
We want to be clear that he's not welcome here, his policies are not welcome here, and that we are not okay with the way in which this administration is moving.
The event Pence is attending is scheduled for 10:30 a.m. at the St. Louis Marriott Grand. It's hosted by America First Policies, a group that has courted recent controversy after some of its members made racist remarks.
Other groups and protesters are planning rallies for Pence's visit. The vice president is scheduled to be in Illinois by afternoon, fundraising for another Republican candidate running in November. The cost to taxpayers for detaining immigrant children has grown from $75 million in the year 2007 to almost $1 billion today. That's according to a new analysis by the Associated Press.
Tom Jawitz with the Center for American Progress says many of the costs to care for kids in federal custody are justifiable, but he notes policies enacted over the past year by the Trump administration have led to a surge in spending.
It is a very poor use of taxpayer dollars, though, to throw thousands of additional children into that system who have no business being cared for by the Office of Refugee Resettlement because they're here with their parents.
Nearly 12,000 kids are currently being held at some 90 sites across 15 states, including Texas. Kids are kept in detention while their parents go through the immigration process. Supporters of the Trump administration's zero-tolerance policy say stronger border security is necessary to stop people from entering the country illegally. I'm Eric Galatas.
The federal government argues it needs the cooperation of local law enforcement for immigration agents to do their jobs. Attorneys general say the new conditions violate the law. The Massachusetts House and Senate have passed energy bills to change the renewable portfolio standard, the percentage of renewable energy the Commonwealth will invest in. But the numbers are different, so what happens next? We asked Linda Barr.
The Massachusetts House and Senate have passed energy bills that dictate the percentage of renewable energy the Commonwealth will invest in by raising the renewable portfolio standard. That's the percentage of electricity that utilities have to get from renewable sources. The House wants to raise the RPS to 2% a year starting in 2020 for several years, then reduce it to 1%. The Senate wants 3%. Casey Bowers with the Environmental League of Massachusetts says a 3% RPS would make the Commonwealth a leader in renewable power and attract businesses that want to produce it.
The renewable portfolio standard basically sends an announcement to the utilities that there is going to be a market for these renewable sources, be it offshore wind, be it solar, another renewable standard.
Now it's up to three members each from the House and Senate to decide on the percentage, and the decision needs to be made quickly before the end of the formal legislative session on July 31st.
And finally, Ross Brown reports for most Americans, it's never a good day to die. That might be changing as more people explore green burials.
Traditional burials can easily cost $12,000 to $15,000. That does not factor in the ecological cost, which includes injecting toxic chemicals into the ground due to formaldehyde used in embalming. Then there's the metal used in caskets each year, enough to build another Golden Gate Bridge. Amber Carvalho owns a progressive funeral service called Undertaking LA. She says we all know we're going to die, but most of us put off exploring how we want to die.
Green funeral is no embalming. It's a casket that's biodegradable. The decedent is wearing clothing that is biodegradable, and then a grave that is hand dug.
Until the end of the 19th century, most Americans were familiar with the various aspects of death because many people died at home and were cared for by family members rather than professional undertakers. Carvalho says many people mistakenly think green burial is something new, when it's really how people were buried for centuries until modern funerals took over about 100 years ago. In 2010, American journalist Ellen Goodman started the Conversation Project after noting that the only conversation Americans weren't having was about end-of-life planning.
To date, nearly a million people have downloaded the starter kit for the Conservation Project. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for newsing and cruising with Public News Service. We are member listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.
Here is the regional weather forecast for the Hudson Valley and Capital Region.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a sunny Thursday with a high near 77 and a low around 54. They also predict more sun on Friday with a high near 81 and a low around 56, and more sun on Saturday with a high near 76 and a low around 61. I'm Tom Rowe for WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported Creative Community Radio.
Next, we have these reports.
Good morning, and welcome to Good Heavens, your minimum daily requirement of astrological observation and cosmic mythology. This is for July 19th. It's not easy. You try being a little seedling popping out of the soil. You don't even have arms and you're expected to lift the earth off you? It was safe in the soil. Even though you were moving through the earth, you were still well protected. You were motivated by the pure enthusiasm of birth, life. It was intention then, potential, still a dream to be manifest. But now you've done it. Life has existed since you germinated, but now it's really real being out here in the big world. There are hungry animals and pounding rain. What was an idea then must be put into action now. What was an inspiration then must be tempered with reality. If our dream was to fly, we can make Icarus wings out of wax, or we can study hard and get our pilot license. Still, there's no denying the struggle. We must be strong and flexible. We must be tolerant and non-hyper emotionally reactive. In our roots are the blueprints of our existence's whys and wherefores. When we shake off the pollutants of cultural and familial expectation and projection and conditioning, and choose to align with our preferred trajectory, we're free, free to blossom and attract our bee helpers, free to grow into that patch of sun we prefer. Know that one day that time will come, especially if it's your birthday, so keep the faith. The gardening calendar says to plant early, and the space calendar shows the asteroid Bailey at its closest approach to Earth. Tune in to Good Heavens tomorrow for another exciting and edifying excursion into the archetypal realm of astrology with Ryan Evans, who can be found at www.ryanevansastrology.com. Good Heavens is produced at the studios of WDRT, Viroqua, Wisconsin.
Next, the national headlines from Public News Service.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Thursday, July the 19th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Efforts continue to quell the backlash over President Donald Trump's changing statements on the Russia summit. Also on the Thursday rundown, protesters out for Mike Pence's visit to Missouri, and nobody wants to go, but one option is green burials. Topping our news, the White House struggled Wednesday to contain a political outcry and confusion over President Trump's summit with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Reuters reports say denied that Trump ever meant to say that Moscow was no longer targeting the United States. Trump, facing an uproar over his failure to confront Putin over the 2016 election meddling, adopted his usual defiant posture 2 days after the Helsinki summit and called his critics deranged. Reuters notes that U.S. intelligence officials have said Russia's efforts to undermine elections are continuing and now are targeting the November 6 congressional races. Meantime, protesters are turning out as Vice President Mike Pence attends a fundraiser in Missouri today. Eric Tegadoff has our report.
Pence is speaking at an event promoting the Trump administration's tax cut and to raise money for Republican Josh Hawley, who is challenging Senator Claire McCaskill in November for her congressional seat. Jessica Estes with NARAL Pro-Choice Missouri expects hundreds of people at a rally her group has organized, and hundreds more protesting in the streets. She says Trump and Pence have attacked not only women's rights, but many of NARAL's allied groups that advocate for fair immigration, labor, and health care access issues.
We want to be clear that he's not welcome here, his policies are not welcome here, and that we are not okay with the way in which this administration is moving.
The event Pence is attending is scheduled for 10:30 a.m. at the St. Louis Marriott Grand. It's hosted by America First Policies, a group that has courted recent controversy after some of its members made racist remarks.
Other groups and protesters are planning rallies for Pence's visit. The vice president is scheduled to be in Illinois by afternoon, fundraising for another Republican candidate running in November. The cost to taxpayers for detaining immigrant children has grown from $75 million in the year 2007 to almost $1 billion today. That's according to a new analysis by the Associated Press.
Tom Jawitz with the Center for American Progress.
Here's an interview from our partners at WOOCLP from the Sanctuary for Media Art in Troy, New York. You can go to the SoundCloud page for Media Sanctuary or look up the Sanctuary for Media Art webpage or Facebook page online for more information or to hear the complete interview.
WOOC Labor Talk host and roaming correspondent Willie Terry has been covering the Poor People's Campaign, and he attended the final day of the Poor People's Campaign 40 Days of Moral and Direct Action protest rally in Washington, D.C. on June 23rd. He chronicles that day in a five-part segment from beginning to end and what's next. In those segments, he recorded live voices and sounds from people on the issues of systemic racism, poverty, ecological worker rights, and the war economy. This segment is part of the Poor People's Campaign Report, Waiting for the Rally Bus.
Yeah, this is Willie Terry, and I'm here at the New York State United Teachers parking lot. And it's about 1 o'clock or 1:30 in the morning, and we're waiting for buses to go to the Poor People Campaign in Washington, D.C. And we have about 50 people out here waiting, and they have a coordinator, Tanya Grant, who's talking to the people, giving them the logistics of the day. And I'm going to try to get an interview with her about what that entails. And I'm speaking with Tanya Grant, the bus captain. Tell me something about the logistics or what a day might entail when we get to Washington, D.C.
So right now, what is going to happen is we're going to board this bus here. We're leaving from Albany. In conjunction with people leaving from Albany, there is a bus leaving from Rochester, New York that I am aware of. There's buses that I know of leaving from Jersey. There's people leaving from Maryland. There's people leaving from various different states. And the plan is that we are all going to converge down in D.C., so we'll get off the bus in D.C. We will all take our materials, our banners, our bodies, all of that. We will get on the metro to get to the rally point, and we're going to do what we got to do.
And what time is the rally scheduled to start?
It will start at 10 a.m., and I believe it's going, I want to say 6, but don't quote me on the actual end time. I know that we are departing at 4.
And I heard you tell them that we won't stop. Once we get on the bus, we're heading straight there.
Yes, what is going to happen is once we depart from Albany, we are going to head straight down to D.C. There won't be any stops because we need to be in D.C. by 9:30 a.m. So that way we can have that time to get over to where the actual rally is going to take place. And then they'll be stopping on the way home so that people can have dinner, stretch your legs, and that type of thing.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Tony. Some of the people that are going there, we are waiting in the parking lot at the New York State Teachers Union. And I'm just going to interview some of the people to find out where they come from. I have here. How you doing?
Hi.
And what's your name?
My name is Intaba.
Intaba, where are you from?
I came down from the Adirondacks today.
Adirondacks?
Yep, Central Adirondacks, Blue Mountain Lake.
So how do people feel about the Poor People campaign up there?
You know, I'm pretty new to the area up there, and I'm working at a retreat center for artists and activists. So the people I'm working with are very supportive, and they were really excited to hear I was coming today. And I promised to give them all a full report.
So you're looking forward to this day?
Oh, yeah. I've heard about the campaign, I guess it was over a year ago, and I've been really excited and wanted to get involved as soon as I heard about it. It's a great, great thing, and I think everybody should get behind it.
Yeah, well, you missed getting arrested, you know.
I know. So sad. I actually had to promise the people I work with that I'm not going to get arrested today because somebody's got to be there to cook dinner on Monday.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Now I got two more guests, and what's your name?
My name is Jeffrey Halpern.
All right, Jeffrey and...
I'm Jack Jacknowitz.
And Jack Jacknowitz. Okay, Jack, where are you from?
I'm from Saratoga.
You're from?
I live in western Saratoga County, up near the Adirondacks.
Oh, okay. Oh, so we got some Saratogans.
Yeah, right, yeah. Saratoga Peace Alliance for many years. Mm-hmm. And now it's changing. We're getting more organized and being more active.
Okay. Well, what drew you to the Poor People campaign?
I'm so angry about where the wealth is in this country. There are 100 people in this country who control half the wealth of the country. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is struggling. It's just unfair that just a few people can control the wealth of our country.
Right, right. I hear you. And what do you think about that?
I agree with Jack.
So what drew you to the Poor People campaign?
I've been a peace activist and environmental activist for my entire adult life, and I think this is a really positive move. I've done a lot of civil disobedience and direct action. I think that's the way that common people can affect the government and make change. Big follower of Martin King and Gandhi, and that's what this whole campaign is about. So as soon as I heard about it, I joined up.
When we talk about environmentalism, we're destroying our oceans, our land. People don't seem to want to be active and realize the problems that we're having. It's as though nothing happens unless there's a crisis. Who would take the possibility of being drawn into a war? The idea that making American great again, and we're not great again. We're the same country we were, it's just propaganda.
Right.
It's just the only solution I can see is that eventually there'll have to be a people's revolution.
Okay.
I don't see any other answer to that, because we're not going to get any answers from the top down. This is not going to be a workable thing that the rich people are going to give us all the things we need. The only way we're going to get anything is if we all get together and decide, you know, this country has to change. We can't have a few people
Controlling all the wealth.
Controlling the, yeah.
All right, thank you. And I have another guest. So what's your name again?
Liz James.
And Liz, where are you from?
I'm from Schenectady, New York.
Schenectady. And how do you feel about this day?
I feel like I'm excited, one. And I feel like, you know, if we all come together in solidarity, that we can fight this, and some the change has to come.
And I see you have three little ones with you. And who are they?
This is Elijah.
And how old is Elijah?
She'll be one next Friday. Uh-huh. And then I have EJ, he's 3, and Sky, she's 5.
Oh, okay. And they're all going to the Poor People Campaign in Washington.
Yes, they are.
And you think you'll remember that? She's looking. Who is he?
Uh-huh.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
And what's your name?
Maris.
Maris? And Maris, where you from?
Albany.
Albany? And is this your first mass rally in Washington, D.C. that you're going to?
Yes, it's my first mass rally.
Oh, okay. And what do you hope to get out of this?
I think it's just an experience. I want to see who else cares about the Poor People's Campaign and why they care. Mm-hmm. My school, the College of St. Rose, had a protest, had a rally, and it was really small, and it'd be nice to see it on a larger scale, that unity.
So is there more St. Rose students here?
No.
You came yourself?
Yeah, I came by myself.
Oh, okay. But it's going to be an experience for you.
I hope so. I know it.
Right. And what year are you in this thing?
I'm a rising senior, so I'm going to be going into my last year there.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, hopefully it don't rain and hope you have a good experience in this, okay?
Yeah, thank you. I definitely want it to be safe as well. Well, that's interesting. I told my dad that I wasn't going to get arrested, so I got to keep that word.
All right. Thank you now.
Thank you.
And what's your name?
Will.
And your name?
Chantel.
And where you from, Chantel?
Albany, New York.
You from Albany? Mm-hmm. And you're from?
I'm from Brooklyn.
You're from Brooklyn?
Yeah.
Hey. Okay. So what drew you out to the Poor People Campaign?
I know the history of it. Like, Martin Luther King started like 50 years ago. It was like the last act before he was assassinated, where he was about to start. He never got to complete it, really, but just felt somebody was willing to die for something like that. At least I could do is give a little bit of my time to pay back something we probably could never pay back, really. So that's what I feel like.
Yeah, that's good. What about you, Tintin?
Well, I feel like it's really important for people to fight for their rights and know what's out there and, you know, just keep history going in a positive direction. Yeah.
And I'm saying the commitment is here with y'all because it's like almost 2 o'clock in the morning, y'all.
I just worked all night.
You worked all night?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I'm still out here.
And what's anything to say about Brooklyn, what's happening in Brooklyn?
Well, like what's happening everywhere is just that people got to understand if you don't stand up for yourself, then people going to roll over you. So hopefully, you know what I mean, people just get more motivated and just take initiative, and that's all I see, you know what I mean? I try to, like, take initiative in something I believe in, so that's what I'm about right now.
Hey, struggle continue, brother.
Yeah, man.
Thank y'all.
Yeah. All right.
So, that was WOOC Roman Labor Correspondent, Willie Terry. This was his part one of his report on the June 23rd, final day of the Poor People's Campaign in Washington, D.C. on Waiting for the Rally Bus.
All together now, the 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday newscast for Greene and Columbia counties is looking for contributors. If you have an idea for a regular or irregular segment, or if you want to interview the public at a local event or write stories for the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org, send an email to info@WGXC.org. All together now. All Together Now airs Monday through Saturday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM in Greene and Columbia counties and WOOC LP 105.3 FM in Troy.
All Together Now, 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 All Together Now.
get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar. If you have a press release for All Together Now, send it to news@WGXC.org, and our crack community reporters will see if we can mention your news on the local airwaves on the collaborative 6 p.m. local radio news show, All Together Now.
So there you have it. This is WGXC 90.7 FM, Hudson, Acre, and all points north, south, east, and west, and the world, if you want to go to WGXC.org on your computer. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
WGXC believes in creative use of the airwaves. WGXC is a program division of the nonprofit arts organization Wave Farm, based in Acre, New York. We are the only station in the country to dedicate significant airtime to radio as an artistic medium. Tune in to transmission art and experimental sound programming overnight and on Saturdays, and hear artists from all over the world who sculpt and compose with the airwaves.
Wave Farm programs are made possible, in part, by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of Governor Andrew Cuomo and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program administered in Greene County by the Greene County Council on the Arts, the Alexander and Marjorie Hover Foundation, the Foundation for Contemporary Arts, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors.
I'm Phil Grant. Carly Miller is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Columbia and Greene counties are anticipating an increase in expenses as part of Columbia Green Community College's proposed $17.1 million operating budget for 2018-19 as the school's enrollment continues to decline. Each county pays a portion of the college's operating budget based on the student's enrollment for each county. Under the spending plan, if approved, Greene County's share would increase by nearly $467,000 for a total of $3.1 million. Columbia County's share would increase by $301,000 to a total of $3.3 million. The contributions by the two counties account for 37.5% of the total college budget. Columbia Green Community College President James Champion said the spending plan includes a 3% tuition increase. Champion said, and I quote, "Historically, this budget increases in sponsor share," end quote. The college is facing demographic challenges because of rapidly declining high school populations, both county and statewide, a low employment rate, and an aging population in both counties, Champion said. The Greene County Legislature will hold a public hearing on the proposed budget 6:25 p.m. August 15th in the county building at 411 Main Street in Catskill. The budget must be approved by the Finance and Government Operations Committees, followed by the full legislature after the public hearing. The Daily Freeman is reporting the State Attorney General's office said July 17th The man responsible for, and I quote, the largest theft in Greene County history, end quote, willfully failed to pay back the victims of his multi-million dollar fraud scheme, and as a result will spend the next 10 and a third to 29 years behind bars. Franklin Marone, 55, of Queens, was sentenced by Judge Terry J. Wilhelm in Greene County Court to 2 to 4 years in state prison. That sentence will run consecutive to the sentence he received in June of 8 1/3 to 25 years. The June sentence was the outcome of Marone submitting fraudulent financial disclosures in an attempt to conceal assets and avoid paying restitution for a securities fraud scheme which dates to 2004. In a separate matter, Marone pleaded guilty on July 17th to stealing more than $360,000 from his 89-year-old mother, multiple ex-girlfriends, and a military veteran. He was given 2 to 4 years on those charges to run concurrent with his sentence on the Greene County convictions. Marone was ordered to make restitution in an amount in excess of $1.5 million. A former stockbroker, Marone stole more than $5.4 million between 1998 and 2004 from his fellow ski patrol members at Windham Mountain by concocting an elaborate investment fraud scheme. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. Bethany Bump is reporting for the Times Union. Health officials are warning New York residents about a new species of tick recently discovered in Westchester County. The so-called longhorn tick was found at locations around Westchester just recently. The longhorn tick is not native to the U.S. and is commonly found in Australia, New Zealand, and Eastern Asia. They have been found in New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, North Carolina, and Arkansas. The tick has been known to transmit disease to humans in other parts of the world, but health officials say more research is needed to determine whether it is possible in the United States. However, the ticks may pose a risk to livestock. Farmers are advised to work with veterinarians to check all animals, especially cattle, sheep, and horses, for tick exposure and to confirm their parasite control plans are up to date and working. Information is available by calling the State Department of Agricultural and Markets Division of Animal Industry at 518-457-3502. Read the full story in the Times Union. Patricia Doxey is reporting for the Daily Freeman. A committee of the Ulster County Legislature has blocked a proposed local law that would ban single-use plastic bags by retail outlets. The Bring Your Own Bag Act was defeated in the Laws and Rules Committee when Legislature Chairman Ken Ronk cast a deciding vote against the proposal. Under the measure, single-use plastic shopping bags would be banned and stores would be required to charge 5 cents for recycled paper bags. Stores that violate the law would be fined. The 5 cent fee appeared to be a major point of contention for opponents of the law, according to Doxey. Ronk, a Republican from Wallkill, said, and I quote, "I understand the virtue of eliminating plastic bags. I don't agree with it, but I understand it. I don't agree with the virtue at all of charging a fee for paper," end quote. At a public hearing in June, 3 of the 22 speakers opposed the proposed law. Opponents included the head of the New York State Association of Convenience Stores and the store manager of ShopRite in the town of Ulster. Sponsors of the bill vowed to force the proposal to the full legislature for a vote. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. The Daily Freeman is reporting Dutchess County has installed 3 car charging stations as part of an effort to reduce its carbon footprint. The stations are intended for public use to recharge county vehicles and cost $1.25 per charging hour through the EV Connect app. Charging stations are located at Tivoli Village Hall, the Dutchess County Office Building in Poughkeepsie, and the Beacon Government Center in Beacon. A 4th station is scheduled to be installed this summer at the Chamber of Commerce Building in Paulin.
The Wavefarm app is now in the App Store for users to download. It's only available on iPhones and iPads. An Android version of the app will be developed as soon as funding allows. The Wavefarm app allows users to listen to live audio from any of the Wavefarm web streams, including WGXC 90.7 FM, Standing Wave Radio, which was formerly known as Wavefarm Radio, Quintron's Weather Warlock, Zach Poff's Pond Station, and other partner streams. Users may also create custom playlists from the thousands of archived audio files. Wavefarm
transmit partners and WGXC broadcast partners may now also stream their own audio feeds from their iPhones and iPads using the app. Again, you can go into the App Store and search for Wavefarm Radio.
Next, we have these reports.
Here's today's congressional campaign update with news about Representative John Faso, Republican from Kinderhook, his Democratic opponent Antonio Delgado, the rest of the campaign for the New York's 19th congressional district. A SUNY New Paltz professor released a statement July 17th after he was quoted in a New York Times story talking about congressional candidate Antonio Delgado's 2006 hip-hop CD. After John Faso criticized the lyrics of Delgado's old project AD Voice last week, several other national publications have picked up the story, including the New York Times, where SUNY New Paltz professor Gerald Benjamin, a friend of Faso, was quoted saying, quote, "As a guy who makes a rap album, the kind of guy who lives here in rural New York and reflects our lifestyle and values," unquote, adding that he personally did not consider rap music to be, quote, "real music," unquote. That brought criticism from SUNY New Paltz president Donald Christian and Tanea Pacheco Dunn, the college's chief diversity officer, among others. Christian and Dunn wrote an open letter that said that Benjamin's comments, quote, "raise the specter of racism and marginalize members of our community, both of which are anti-ethical to our institutional values of inclusivity and respect," unquote. Quote, "We spoke with the administrator who offered these quotes," unquote, the letter states. Quote, "He regrets these comments and their impact on the institution and our community and recognizes that language matters," unquote. Hours after the article went online and brought the criticism, Benjamin sent out this email. "Dear colleagues and coworkers, I have worked at SUNY New Paltz for 50 years in several capacities and have a deep attachment to the school and the diverse community we have built here. I am therefore very sorry for any unintended distress caused by my remarks in yesterday's New York Times interview, published today in the print edition. These remarks have been condemned as racist. I had no racist intent, but understand the impact of those remarks and regret having made them. I sought to make two points in this interview. The first was that race is never irrelevant to American politics, and that this is especially the case when an African-American candidate is running against a white candidate in a largely white district. The second was that the Republican use of his background as a rap artist was an attempt to open a cultural gap between Mr. Delgado and the majority of the district's population. I made these points badly. My remarks were insufficiently precise, my points poorly articulated, and my language very insensitive and therefore subject to multiple interpretations. I particularly regret the casual use of the phrase, quote, people like us, unquote, to describe rural upstate New Yorkers. This language is overgeneral, exclusionary, and I see in retrospect evokes racist connotations. Academics should stick to what they know. I react negatively to racially charged, violence-inducing, misogynist lyrics I have heard, but knew virtually nothing about rap music as a form of affirmative artistic and cultural expression. I was therefore particularly in error and professionally inappropriate in generalizing from a casually informed point of view, and in doing so, turning what should have been an analytic statement into a very badly informed personal one. I am honored to head a regional public policy research center named for me that does important work to advance social equity, political accountability, and environmental justice. My talented colleagues in the center, especially because it is named for me, fear that my comments in the Times will jeopardize their opportunity to continue this important work. I urge that colleagues and citizens understand that my remarks were not representative of the center and its staff, and I ask you to continue to value our work on its merits. I deeply regret my comments and apologize for any unintended offense they may have engendered and for any harm caused to our institution to which I have devoted my professional life," unquote. That's Gerald Benjamin, the director of the Benjamin Center at SUNY New Paltz.
Gonna get some records, gonna get some records for my baby.
Mr. Record Man, get this record for me, won't you please?
WGXC Record Fair 2018 is coming back Sunday, September 16th at the Basilica Hudson. Vendors from across the Northeast will gather at Basilica's main hall to sell vinyl, CDs, cassette tapes, DVDs, books, musical equipment and instruments, and radio-related ephemera. If you want to get involved and sell records, CDs, or more at WGXC's Record Fair, email recordfair@wgxc.org or call 518-697-7400. That's recordfair at WGXC.org. You can also make a donation to WGXC of old records, tapes, or other media. Again, email recordfair at WGXC.org or call 518-697-7400 to help with the WGXC Record Fair.
Go and get some records.
All together now.
See the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org for more information on anything you hear on All Together Now.
All together now, let's fall apart.
WGXC needs you. Can you be entertaining and engaging while being informative? Are you interested in all things local? News, politics, and culture? Well, WGXC 90.7 FM. From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Green. Kenneth C. Crowe II reports in the Albany Times-Union that over 50 people filled St. Mary's Parish Hall in Nassau July 17th to hear from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency about plans to start cleaning up the pollution there beginning in August. From 1952 until 1968, an estimated 46,000 tons of toxic industrial waste was dumped into the Dewey LaFell landfill site in southern Rensselaer County, spilling into the T11A stream that heads into the Valencia Kill, a protected trout stream that runs through Kinderhook Lake in Columbia County. Now it's a Superfund site filled with PCBs, or polychlorinated biphenyls, a suspected carcinogen. The General Electric Company begins removing the contaminated soil and sediments in August. EPA representatives could not say how much GE and other companies are paying to remove the pollution. EPA Region 2 Administrator Pete Lopez said at the meeting, and I quote, "We're going to be focusing on near-term dredging in an unnamed tributary. Most importantly, we're listening to the community, the concerns, the needs they see in the neighborhoods," end quote. Stephen Rex Brown reports in the Daily News that on July 17th, for the second time, former State Majority Leader Dean Skelos and his son Adam were found guilty on 8 bribery and extortion charges. Skelos, now 70, was sentenced in 2016 to 5 years in prison, but after a Supreme Court ruling that redefined what constitutes bribery of a public official, the two got a retrial with similar results. Skelos was a Republican, and earlier this year, former Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver, a Democrat, and his counterpart was also convicted of corruption following a retrial. Last week, Governor Cuomo's hand-picked economic advisor, Alien Calorius, was found guilty of corruption charges related to the state's Buffalo Billion Development Initiative. In March, another former Cuomo aide, Joseph Pococo, was convicted in a separate corruption case. Albany's legislators and governor, though, have not passed any substantial ethics law or transparency measures in many years. In the latest corruption case, the father and son, Skelos, will be sentenced October 24th. Read the full story in the New York Daily News. Lorna Chirot Littleway reports in the Columbia paper that the Hillsdale Town Board approved $125 to install a marker at the old community cemetery at its July 10th meeting. The also known as Old Orchid Cemetery on Old Town Road dates to 1767 with a headstone for Mercy Chase. There are 6 Revolutionary War veterans, and there may be Native Americans buried at the site. The Historic Homes Tour is paying for the marker, the first of 15 historical cemeteries getting marked soon in the area. Read the full story in the Columbia paper. On July 17th, Representative John Passo joined all but three of his Republican colleagues in the U.S. House, voting 229 to 184 for H.R. 6147, and I quote, the spending bill for the Department of Interior, Environment, and related agencies for the fiscal year ending September 30th, 2019, end quote. Does not take a position on pay raises for federal workers. That, FedWeek reports, allows annual raises proposed by the White House to take effect by default. Currently, the Trump administration is not advocating any raises for 2019, so federal paychecks would remain flat. Some Democrats are calling for 3% federal wage increase, but observers predict the raise will be decided in negotiations between the White House and Senate, and not until later this year. Patricia Doxey's reporting in the Daily Freeman that on July 17th, Ulster County lawmakers delayed a vote on whether to ask voters about term limits this November after a controversial outside group backed the measure. Republican Brian Waltman of Kingston joined Democrats, some of whom had previously backed the term limit question, voted 13 to 10 to delay action on the proposal. The conservative organization Reclaim New York recently backed a proposal. Minority Leader Hector Rodriguez, a Democrat from New Platts, said it was a shame that, and I quote, an outside group tried to get involved in what was an honest-to-goodness discussion, end quote. Speakers at the July 19th meeting called Reclaim New York, and I quote, insidious, nefarious, and synonymous with dark money, end quote. Now county legislators won't vote on the ballot until September. Had they voted in favor this week, the measure would have gone to the ballot this November. Now it won't until at least November 2019, if passed. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, wgxc.org.
Six attorneys general filed suit on Wednesday to block the Trump administration from putting anti-immigrant conditions on federal funds that states and localities use for law enforcement. The complaint argues that the Justice Department lacks the authority to impose new conditions that adversely affect the ability of police departments to do their jobs. New York State AG Barbara Underwood says the White House is waging a political attack on New Yorkers at the expense of public safety.
Instead of allowing New York's law enforcement agencies to determine how best to keep New Yorkers safe, the Trump administration is threatening to penalize our communities by withholding funding from the Byrne JAG program, the primary source of federal criminal justice funding for states and local governments.
The federal government is arguing that it needs the cooperation of local law enforcement for immigration agents to do their jobs. Attorneys general say the new conditions violate the law. Underwood says the Trump administration does not have the right to require state and local police to act as federal immigration agents.
They know firsthand that public safety depends on building trust with the communities they serve. If you witness a crime or are the victim of domestic violence, you should be able to call the police and not worry about whether that call will lead to your deportation.
As a result of the administration's actions, New York State alone could lose nearly $9 million in Edward Byrne Memorial Justice Assistant Grant funds for fiscal year 2017. The six states that sued could lose a total of $25 million. For New York News Connection, I'm Linda Barr.
Here is the regional weather forecast for the Hudson Valley and Capital Region.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a sunny Thursday with a high near 77 and a low around 54. They also predict more sun on Friday with a high near 81 and a low around 56, and more sun on Saturday with a high near 76 and a low around 61. I'm Tom Rowe for WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported Creative Community Radio.
Coming up on the WGXC 90.7 FM community program schedule for Thursday, July 19th, your host is back at 11 a.m. live in the Hudson studio with One Size Fits All until noon, followed by Crossroads in Rhythm with Alan Skerritt after the noon news headlines until 2 o'clock. Performance poet Edwin Torres will be the guest this month on Poet Radio with Chris Funkhauser. That's from 2 to 3 p.m.
followed by Radio Theater Donald Drumpf Theater, Volume 79, Would I Lie to You, curated by Tom Rowe. Later on in the evening, the Jazz Disturbance with Cheryl Kay is on at 7 o'clock, followed by Boogie Woogie Flu with Ted Barron from 9:30 to midnight.
Tune into Transmission Arts in the early morning hours of Friday, July 20th, with Donald Drumpf Theater at midnight after the news, Terrence Free Jazz Hour for 2 hours at 1 a.m., with more radio news at 5 a.m., overnight on Wavefarm Standing Wave Radio and WGXC.
There are so many events on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, and you can add your own by pressing the Add an Event button right there on the page. If you do, folks like me will read your community event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at WGXC.org, including some of these events.
Hudson Area Library holds a Mass MoCA field trip Thursday, July 19th, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., off to North Adams to see the Massachusetts Museum of Contemporary Art. Ian Flanagan, progressive folk and percussive fingerstyle guitarist with vocals, performs at the Claremont State Historic Site, 6 p.m. Thursday, July 19th, part of the Harmonies on the Hudson Outdoor Concert Series. Thursday, July 19th, there's the Hudson Library Nonfiction Book Group meeting at 6 p.m. They're currently discussing the book 1491, New Revelations of the Americas Before Columbus by Charles C. Mann. It's from 6 to 8 p.m. Thursday, July 19th at the Hudson Area Library. The Revenge of the Space Pandas or Binky Rudick and the Two-Speed Clock returns to the Bridge Street Theater Thursday, July 19th with a performance at 7:30 p.m. Maeve Gilchrist and Keith Murphy perform at the Metabee Farm in Hillsdale, Thursday, July 19th at 7:30 p.m. Gilchrist was the Scottish Instrumentalist of the Year and is a regular visiting artist at the Berklee College of Music. Also, Thursday, July 19th, Patty Griffin, the singer-songwriter and folk musician, is at Club Helsinki in Hudson at 8 p.m. Friday, July 20th, Jim Snack, the magician, performs at PS 21 in Chatham. That's at 1 p.m. in the afternoon. You can also meet the North American Porcupine at the Mud Creek Environmental Learning Center in Ghent, 7 p.m. Friday, July 20th. Learn about the large solitary rodent commonly found in New York. It's mostly nocturnal, so you don't see it so much. This is open to the public. Registration is required at the Mud Creek Environmental Learning Center. There's a link on the WGXC community calendar, 7 p.m. Friday, July 20th, to meet the North American Porcupine in Ghent. Kath Bloom and Frozen Corn, the folk legend Kath Bloom, is performing with Frozen Corn opening at the Root Cellar in Massachusetts, Greenfield, Massachusetts, Friday, July 20th. That's at 7:30 p.m. Rory Block performs part of Rory Block's Gospel and Blues Fest weekend at PS 21 in Chatham. That's at 8 p.m. Friday, July 20th. Shannon McNally is at Club Helsinki in Hudson that night, Friday, July 20th. Saturday, July 21st, Cinetype is the workshop at Drop Forge and Tool at 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. with artist Caitlin Parker. Mohawk Hudson Land Conservancy has a hikeathon at the Elridge Research Center in Rensselaerville at 10 a.m. Saturday, July 21st. The Empire State Record Fair is at BSP in Kingston Saturday, July 21st from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. with records.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
This is Echo. You are listening to WJFC Acra, Creative Community Magical Radio.
I'm a rogue.